Well, in honor of the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, which takes place this Tuesday, and in a nod to David Letterman, I'd like to share with you my top 10 reasons why I'm excited about the Reformation. Number one, clergy can get married. Where are you, Dwight? Everyone has access to God in Christ, not just clergy. Hooray! You don't have to become a priest, monk, or nun to honor God in your daily work. Not so much excitement over that one. Okay, that's exciting! That's exciting! The Bible in language you can understand. Worship in language you can understand. You don't have to pay money to the church to escape purgatory, which doesn't exist anyway. Music in church that you can sing along to. And let me just explain before you cheer. Luther took basically bar tunes and put his hymn to them. If you did, that's true, actually. So people knew the tunes. So let's thank you, Luther. Thank you, Luther. You can have wine with your bread during communion. Oh, we like that one. We like that one. Salvation can't be earned. It's a free gift. That's pretty exciting. And last but not least, God's unconditional love for you frees you to love others without conditions. That's pretty. And I'll just add 11. I'll put on my historian hat here and just say, pretty amazing how the new technology of the day, the printing press, which was kind of the Twitter and Facebook of Luther's day, actually made this international conversation possible. On Prairie Home Companion, Garrison Keillor had a lot of fun with Lutherans. And I kind of even made me kind of feel for Lutherans at various points because he tended to portray them as parochial and not that much fun. But Martin Luther was fun. He was lively. He was so interesting. He was a person you would want to hang out with and talk theology and definitely over a beer. And Martin Luther loved beer. In fact, he knew the best beers in Germany, and I know he would have been part of our men's beer group. He was a fun man. Luther had a challenge many of us can relate to. He wanted to be right with God and the universe. He tried so hard to win God's love and favor, always feeling like he was coming up short. And then, after much study, struggle, and prayer, he had an epiphany when reading the passage from Romans 3 that Bryn Stember read a moment ago. He saw in an instant that his salvation, meaning his ability to live in deep communion or relationship with God and others, was a gift from God. It could not be earned. Luther no longer had to justify his existence. He no longer had to struggle and strive to win God's love and favor. The gift of God's love and favor is pure grace. While good works are the fruit of a faithful life, they cannot earn salvation or even win us brownie points with God. God's love, which can't be earned, frees us to love others without strings attached. And this love of God is made known to us in the love of Jesus. In Jesus, God binds God's self to us. We can take this understanding of salvation by grace through faith for granted, but at the time it was revolutionary. And I'd even argue that it's revolutionary today, because most Christians I know, including myself, are still trying to earn their salvation. And this runs from the theological right to the theological left, from extreme Protestants to extreme Catholics. When I first became a Christian in high school, the non-denominational Christians I interfaced with practiced what I'll call athletic Christianity. We worked so hard to be good Christians, to be perfect. And I actually kept a daily diary, and I think I should burn it pretty soon before someone looks at it, in which I scrutinized my every word and action, which resulted in a lot of time navel gazing. The problem, navel gazing, couldn't pronounce that. Not navel gazing. I did live in San Diego, did do some navel gazing, but in this case, I was navel gazing. Thank you. The problem was that I could never live up to the high standards I thought God had for me. I continued to do things that were wrong and to have uncharitable thoughts. I'm not saying a person shouldn't work on these things, but that it is very hard to muscle through, hard to grin and bear your way to God's love and respect. And the left has its own version of athletic Christianity. And in this version, you are never doing enough to save the world. You constantly feel guilty, even if you're giving your best and your all. There is always more you could be doing. Because in this world, there is very little understanding that God is present and that it is working with you, partnering with you to bring about the new creation. So it's all up to you. And think about the many ways Americans work so hard to be saved and pure by eating the right organic foods, by having a rigorous exercise regime, by getting fanatical about yoga or whatever new food or exercise trend is popular. If we only have the right diet or exercise regimen or book or scented candles marked purity or serenity, all will be right with us. We can work our way to a better state of mind or being. And this is to say nothing of those who lose themselves in striving for advancement at work, school, or elsewhere, trying to earn the worth and admiration and respect of God, their parents, and their coworkers. Let me say it again because it's so important. There is nothing you can do to win or lose God's favor. This is something I struggle to believe because I've spent most of my life trying to get an A from God, my family, and those I respect. But when I let myself believe for a moment that faith is a free gift from God, pure grace, it is liberating. So when our passages from Leviticus and the Gospel of Matthew tell us to love our neighbor as yourself, we don't hear this as one more thing to do or to feel guilty about not loving our neighbor enough this past weekend, but hear the opportunity to share with our neighbor God's abundant love and compassion. Not because we should, but because we've been freed to do so. The love of God liberates us to live for others, because our own shame, guilt, fears, anxieties, shortcomings, and hang-ups do not define us. Our neighbors, like us, are God's beloved, and they're deserving of God's love and grace, and we're able to give what we've received from God. The Holy Spirit is always forming and reforming our lives and the church. And in every age, the Holy Spirit works through courageous people to raise important questions and challenge whatever seems to have deviated from the gospel of Jesus Christ. This day, I want to give thanks for Martin Luther and his willingness to stand up to the church and to the leaders of his day for the sake of the gospel. Amen.